Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to John. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him,
"Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?"
And Jesus answered,
"Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world."
When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him,
"Go, wash in the pool of Siloam,"
which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask,
"Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?"
Some were saying,
"It is he."
Others were saying,
"No, but it is someone like him."
But he kept saying,
"I am he."
But they kept asking him,
"Then how were your eyes opened?"
He answered,
"The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight."
They said to him,
"Where is he?"
And he said,
"I do not know."
They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. And then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them,
"He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see."
And some of the Pharisees said,
"This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath."
Others said,
"How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?"
And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man,
"What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened."
He said,
"He is a prophet."
The temple authorities did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them,
"Is this your son, whom you say was born blind? How then does he see?"
His parents answered,
"We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees. Nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He'll speak for himself."
His parents said this because they were afraid of the temple authorities, who had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him,
"Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner."
And he answered,
"I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see."
They said to him,
"What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?"
And he answered them,
"I've told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?"
Then they reviled him, saying,
"You are his disciple, but we are the disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from.
The man answered,
"Here's an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing."
They answered him,
"You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?"
So they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, Jesus said,
"Do you believe in the Son of Man?"
He answered,
"And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him."
Jesus said to him,
"You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he."
He said,
"Lord, I believe."
And he worshiped him. Jesus said,
"I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind."
Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him,
"Surely we are not blind, are we?"
And Jesus said to them,
"If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say we see, your sin remains."
This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. My dad is now retired, but he spent most of his career as a law professor with a particularly dry and sarcastic sense of humor. And I remember one particular day, he came home from work looking exhausted. And I asked him what was wrong, and he explained that he had just had a really tough class. And then he said, "You know, they say there's no such thing as a stupid question, but some get pretty close." Honestly, I think he said something a little ruder than that. That was the PG version. I was laughing and thinking of his words this week as I looked at our gospel lesson, because the disciples' question today is what I would consider pretty close. We hear that Jesus is walking along and sees a man blind from birth, and the disciples' first reaction is to turn to Jesus and ask, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Yeesh. This Lenten season, we've been doing a sermon series each week focused on questions. And each week we've had a different thoughtful question to consider. Questions like, who will we listen to? And how do we begin again? And the point of this series has been for us to see what these questions can reveal to us about God, about the world, about ourselves. And then we get this question. But the truth is, this question too, no matter how awful, also reveals something. It reveals the assumptions the disciples carried about people with disabilities, assumptions that prevented them from seeing the man's full humanity. And I think to dive deeper into this question and to understand how radical Jesus's response is, it's helpful to look at this story through the lens of three different models of disability. The first is what's called the moral model. The moral model views a disability as a result of sin, as an individual problem that's proof of a person's moral failure. It turns disability into a punishment that God doles out on those who deserve it. And then the second model scholars often use is called the medical model. The medical model also views disability as an individual problem, an impairment that should be treated or cured through medical means. And to be clear, this isn't all bad. After all, medicine is incredibly important. But the medical model also suggests that disabled people are somehow not whole as they are, that only through being cured can they attain wholeness. And we see both of these models show up repeatedly throughout our gospel story today. We see the moral model at work when the disciples, upon seeing the blind man, immediately assume that he or his parents have to have sinned. We see the medical model reflected in the fact that this passage is usually interpreted as a miracle story about curing blindness, a story where the blind man is only made whole after Jesus cures him, when the text actually presents a much more complicated reality. We see the moral model again when, after the man testifies about Jesus, the Pharisees drive him out, saying, "You were born entirely in sin, and are you trying to teach us?" We see the medical model in the way that the man's neighbors care more about how he was healed than about why he was forced to live as a beggar in the first place. Both of these models can lead to societal shame and exclusion because they view disability as an individual problem. And as much as we might look at the disciples and the Pharisees and the story and be horrified by their actions, I think we often have the same assumptions. We rush to make assumptions about individuals because it's more comfortable than acknowledging that we too might be vulnerable within the same systems. It's easier and more comfortable to think of disability as an isolated issue than to acknowledge that the majority of us will develop a disability at some point in our lives. When we see disability only through the lens of individual fault or cure, we miss the bigger truth that Jesus is calling us toward in this gospel story. And I think the third model of disability, called the social model, can help reveal this truth. The social model sees disability not as a fault of an individual person, but as a result of systemic barriers. It shifts our perspective from fixing a person to challenging the systems that exclude them. And when we view the story through this lens, it starts to look entirely different. Suddenly, the issue isn't that the man is blind. The real issue is that society has pushed him to the margins, that the only way he can survive is through begging. The real issue is that no one believes him when he tells his story again and again. The real issue is that people ask his parents to speak for him, as if he's incapable of speaking for himself. The real issue is the Pharisees try to put limits on when it's appropriate for him to receive care. And it's into that world of assumptions and exclusion that Jesus issues two radical statements of grace and truth for us today. First, he says, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned." He utterly rejects the way that sin and disability often get tied together, completely overturning the idea that disability would ever be a punishment or a moral failure. And then he says, "He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him." And now, at first glance, I will admit, this line can feel pretty gross, right? Because many people have interpreted the phrase "God's works" here to refer to Jesus's healing. And this interpretation reinforces the medical model because it names blindness as a brokenness that needed to be healed by Jesus in order to restore the man to wholeness. But what if the phrase "God's works" in this verse instead refers to the image of God which has been in this man from the very moment of his birth? What if God's works existed in this man long before Jesus came and healed him? If we look at Jesus's statement through a social model of disability, we can see that what had prevented God's work from being revealed in the man wasn't the fact that he was blind and needed to be healed. It was the fact that society was so focused on his blindness, they couldn't see his humanity. They looked at the man and saw only blindness, but Jesus looked at him and saw a beloved child of God. They looked at the man and saw only his disability, but Jesus looked at him and saw someone whose very body revealed the image of God. These two statements are incredible, life-giving good news to those of us who are disabled. In a world that constantly names disabled people as broken or less than whole, Jesus says, "You are whole." In a world that constantly uplifts certain bodies as ideal, Jesus looks at disabled people and says, "You too were made in the image of God." In a world that often views disability as an individual problem, this gospel issues a call for us to use better models and ask better questions, to throw away questions like, "Who sinned?" and instead ask what barriers are preventing the blind man from getting what he needed to flourish just as he was. And the beautiful irony of this story, of course, is that the man who was born blind ultimately sees Jesus more clearly than anyone else in this story. And the Pharisees, though physically capable of seeing, are unable to recognize the truth about Jesus, because they are so entrenched in their own assumptions. This serves as a powerful reminder for us that people with disabilities are not just passive receivers, as society often treats them, but have meaningful knowledge and gifts to offer all on their own. Knowledge and gifts that the rest of the body of Christ needs for all of us to flourish. You see, this gospel story has always resonated deeply with me because I understand what it feels like to be judged only by the moral and medical model. Between finishing college and starting seminary, I became disabled when I was diagnosed with a rare neurological disorder called idiopathic hypersomnia, which means that, among other things, I am extremely sleepy and fatigued all the time, no matter how much I sleep at night. And as you can imagine, this made seminary hard. I had always loved school, and yet suddenly I was falling asleep in class or struggling to stay awake long enough to finish papers. And as I struggled, I began to internalize the assumptions that our society teaches us about disability. Part of me started to see myself through this moral model. I blamed myself, wondering what I had done to bring this upon myself. Part of me saw myself through a medical model, as I tried treatment after treatment, some of which helped, but none of which cured me. I kept thinking, I have to find a cure because surely I can't live like this forever. And along with all of this came a deep sense of grief. Grief about how the world seemed to interact with me differently than before I was disabled. Grief about how I couldn't imagine how I could be a good pastor. And I remember wondering if anyone really saw me, or if they just saw my disability. But one day, my best friend from seminary sat me down after I'd had a particularly hard week, and she said something I will never forget. She said, "I see you. I see you, and I know that the church needs you just as you are. The world and the church may not be set up in ways that make things easy for you, but that's the system's fault, not yours. And God calls us to build better systems." And in that moment, something shifted for me because I realized what that man in our gospel today knew. I had not sinned, I was not broken, and though my disability has brought many challenges, it doesn't erase my gifts, gifts that I can use to build better systems. And this is what Jesus reveals to us in our story today, that people with disabilities are not theological object lessons or problems to be solved. They are beloved children of God, created in the image of God with gifts and knowledge that can enrich the entire community. And part of being the church is learning to recognize that truth. when we make our spaces accessible, when we not only invite people with disabilities, but show that they are needed and loved, we build up the body of Christ in a way that makes flourishing more accessible for everyone. So in just 2 short months, Wicker Park Lutheran Church will officially be ADA accessible. And over the next few months, the church council is launching an accessibility task force to help this community think even more expansively about what welcome can look like for people with disabilities. The incredible thing is that this congregation is already hard at work following Jesus' call in this gospel. And so, as we enter into this new chapter of our church, may we remember that this story isn't really about blindness being cured, but about Jesus teaching an entire community how to see. It's about Christ continuing to invite us across the ages to ask better questions. Questions that expose the assumptions we carry, questions that reveal the image of God in each and every person, and questions that help us build up a body of Christ where everyone can thrive. So may we ask them. Amen.